Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 195. I am your host, Jose. Brittany is behind me editing, doing things. Say hi, Brittany.
Good morning.
And we are Finding Arizona podcast. We're so excited to do this episode with a couple of bartenders, ladies and gentlemen. Every party needs a couple of bartenders. So Neil and Kenzie came to our home and she and he talked about how they got started, how they developed into expanding their business into all sorts of shapes and sizes that I'm excited for them to. If you've seen them on social media, they have a brand new beer truck with 5 taps available and you can rent that out if you're a business owner or if you're a family just putting on a party, you want it, you can have it at your own home. We go into the family dynamic. They have 2 boys and they are very much oriented their schedules around them and having family time. So if you're a family person, this episode's for you guys. And we're going to jump into a little bit of our business side. Finding Arizona Podcast can be heard at our website at findingarizonapodcast.com. There's a little tab at the top and you can go to all those little tabs. And let me break it down for you. We have a shop tab that you can get your shirts and mugs at. That is very easy for you guys to go and order from. On top of which, we have a support tab. If you click on that, you'll find all the ways that you can support us. One-time donation. If you want to become a super fan, we have a Patreon page for you as well, where you can have special bonus content delivered straight to you, only available at patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. Last but not least, all our social media is at Finding Arizona Podcast. That is our name. All easy for you guys to connect with us. We want to hear from you. Tell us what you want to hear next. On top of which, if you have a family member, you have someone that you think would be great to be on our episode, drop us a line at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. That's also where you'll be able to get your community cork boards onto our list. And it is very, very fun. And August is coming around the corner. So all the August events are lined up and we're excited for that. So that being said, let's jump into that cork board. We have 3 events for you guys. The first one being our dear friend over at Sunshine Craft Co. is putting on a paint pour workshop. It is the flow painting. If you've ever seen this, it's very fun. I've seen it a couple of times. You let the paint kind of do its motion along a canvas and you have a beautiful piece of what I would be like marbleized paint onto a piece of basically just art that you can put anywhere in your home. So go check it out. It's a fun event and Sunshine Craft Co. is a dear friend of ours. Next up, Digit puts on workshops all throughout the summertime. So today's workshop is a Coco Danum workshop, and that is a indoor Japanese plant. It's kind of like a bonsai tree wrapped in moss, so go check out that. And if you want to sign up for their classes are available at their website. And next and last but not least, I'm very interested in trying to see what this is all about because it seems fun. There are free foam frenzies, which is a foam party, over at the Odyssey, which is the aquarium in Scottsdale, this week and then also the week of August 3rd through the 4th from 8 to 11 a.m. You can go and check it out, have some fun, take your kids. The aquarium is always a good place to go. And that is it for our community corkboard. This is our episode number 195 with the best couple of bartenders that I know, Neil and Kenzie. Let's go.
What is it you do and why do you do it? Here at Finding Arizona Podcast, we love to showcase that. And so do our friends at Every Impression Counts. They offer free strategy consultations so you can envision the possibilities for your business or idea, such as websites, social media management, paid advertising like the top of Google, along with advertising on Facebook, Instagram, Snap, video production, photography, podcasting, SEO, blogging, analytics, and so much more. In today's world, it's never been so cost-effective to produce and distribute content with the tools that you have at your disposal. If you've ever thought, what if, just have a convo with my friends at Every Impression Counts. You can find them at eic.agency. Or check out what they're up to by following them on Instagram and Facebook at Every Impression Counts and tell them Finding Arizona Podcast sent you.
Shit,
Friends of Eric, any person who's been on Eric's podcast will be easily, this is going to be a golden op, like, it's going to be a knock out of the park. So
awesome.
I have no problems with it. So let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I am your host, Jose. Every week, we bring in someone very special. But today, we have two people who are coming in with, I want to say, very, 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 you may know them as a couple of bartenders. I just found out that they have another business called the Tap Truck, and I'm very excited. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. And just kind of, we're going to kick it off, okay?
Absolutely.
Cool. Sounds good.
I'm Kinsey Kendrick.
And Kinsey. I'm Neil Kendrick.
Neil Kendrick. And you guys are a couple of bartenders.
We are the original couple. And so we always get asked, are you guys the only, right, couple? And so over the years, we have grown to, we have a team of about 65 bartenders that work with us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we do events, private parties, mm-hmm. weddings is our... probably the number
bread
one.
And butter.
Yeah, yeah. What we do the most of.
The water tastes good. I almost thought it was vodka.
Oh!
No, just kidding. Just kidding.
It's 5 o'clock, guys. Neil's got something on the mind. I'm very excited for this episode. So I ask this of everyone. I usually kick it off with, can you give us a little bit of the origin story on how you guys got started?
Absolutely. I'm going to let you, because I'm usually the talker.
That's a first.
So
yes.
We're going to switch it up today.
Switch it up, and I'm going to let you go.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You know I'm going to chime in.
Of course. Always. already jumping in there.
I love it.
It was actually a napkin that started the business.
So
many years ago, a little over 9 years ago, I think it was right when the market was crashed about, right?
Wow.
Yeah, you had just got laid off or downsized, if you will. And I was doing, I was a commission only sales rep. So of course, at that time, things were slowing down in every business aspect. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And I think we were at happy hour.
We were definitely a happy
hour. Turned potentially into reverse happy hour. Yeah. Could have happened.
There you go.
And we were just talking about, what are we going to do? We have always had the entrepreneurial spirit. And we said, hey, this is something we've discussed and wanted to do for a long time. And let's go for it. So the idea went from pen to paper to actualizing it, visualizing it, meeting with people who had experience in what we were doing in the industry.
Okay.
Meeting with liquor lawyers, making sure we were doing everything that was correct so that we weren't going into this with false expectations. And then at that time, Neil got a new job. And so we started saying, hey, let's not do this.
Yeah.
Let's start it kind of as a side hustle.
Yeah.
And we kind of, it was right before holiday season, and we threw that out there to family and friends, and we got our first nibble, and we did a holiday party, which was an awesome party. We worked it. We were the original couple that worked every event from the get-go, and then it started to slowly grow, and as every event we did, we learned from it. What should we do differently? What worked? What didn't work?
Yeah.
And then we had people that started joining our team and working with us. And they were all people that we had known from the industry, because we both worked in the service industry and as bartenders when we first met. And then they started telling us, like, hey, this person would be really awesome on our team, and this person. So over the years, our team of now 65 has pretty much almost all of them, I would say 90% of them, have been referred from already existing bartenders that have worked with us, which is amazing, because and they stay with us for quite a long time, which is awesome. And so it says that A, they enjoy what they're doing. B, when they refer somebody else, they're going to refer people that know our corporate culture and what we do and how we do it, and that they're going to want to, you know, do the same.
Absolutely.
So super surprised you haven't jumped in yet.
No.
You're looking at me like, what?
Neil's like, you got it. You got it. I couldn't say it any better. I'm curious, that first napkin, what was on it? Was it like prices? Was it logos? Was it ideas?
It was the name.
It was just the name. Okay.
Yeah, it was really just the name. I mean, we were just kind of sitting there, you know, over a couple of drinks, and we were like, you know what? Every event could use a couple of bartenders. And we were like, boom, you know, there it is. Couple of bartenders. Being the original couple and everything. I mean, we both come with bartending experience, brick and mortar style.
Okay.
And we both come with a little bit of entrepreneurial and business background. But I mean, at the end of the day, we knew how to make drinks, but I mean, come on. I mean, we really didn't know what the hell we were doing. We were just kind of jumping in and just trying to figure it out.
Flying by the edge of your seat.
But it was, you know, a good opportunity and a good, just good timing. And, you know, we were kind of on a low point and everything. And
we had to
get to work and figure something out.
Sure.
You know, so, and it worked. Yeah.
Where was the point of, okay, we've got something here. Where was that aha moment for you guys?
Jeez. You know, the amazing thing is I think we are constantly having aha moments, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
So, and for us, I know what the actual real aha moment was for me, I think, was...
Well, please share.
I will. Yeah. So it was a side hustle for many years. And about, I'd say, 4 or 5 years ago, I said, I'm going in full time. This is just all I'm going to do.
Okay.
And we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
Neil supported me 100%. He was still working the corporate gig 9 to 5 and then would come home and be working on this with me. So it was like nonstop all the time. And about 2 years ago, maybe now 2.5, is it even 3?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't know. Probably. Literally time doesn't, it flies.
Yeah.
Neil was able to leave his full-time job and come on board full-time.
Okay.
Which was, I think that was an aha moment. Like, oh my gosh, like we are doing this. It was an aha and I think an oh shit moment at the same time. Like, this is all, like, this is it. Like,
yeah, this is everything.
This is everything. And so it was that... awesome, like so excited, but then that kind of like, oh my gosh, like we got to go like even more, be creative, be innovative, like just what was maybe a 6-7 day a week is now an 8-9 day feels like sometimes because it's morning, noon, night.
Constantly. Yeah. I mean, it's, you hit it on the head on the nail, but, the biggest thing is that we're also raising a family. So we kind of always coined the phrase booze and babies. And and we're really kind of looking at each other going, oh man, I was doing commercial equipment financing. And I mean, sorry for anybody who just fell asleep right then when I said that.
Someone was like, wait, what?
Yeah, it was lucrative, but man, it just was not what I wanted to be doing.
Okay.
And so we kind of looked at each other and we went from, it was a classic scenario where we went from the garage to a small office, now to a bigger office. And now we're continuously looking again. And
cool.
And we kind of looked at each other. She was like, well, I need to hire or you have to quit and come aboard.
Okay.
And I was like, well, hell yeah, I'm out of here.
Put in my 2 weeks. You don't tell me twice.
Right? Yeah.
So that's kind of the quick evolution of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm curious too, because, you know, you guys have switched jobs and you really... The way you went about it is you let it grow and naturally grow. How hard was it for each of you to say, okay, I'm going to dive in and let go of this safety net known as a job that's paying me a paycheck? What level of like conversation to each other and to yourselves was there?
Great question. We've always kind of flown by the seat of our pants.
Okay.
Honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
We've had multiple entrepreneur opportunities.
Love it.
Some were a complete flop and everything. Some, you know, did us pretty well. But for us, we always knew that we didn't want to work for ourselves. We didn't want to work for someone else. We always wanted to work for ourselves.
Sure.
However, we also knew that we had little kids
in
health insurance.
Yep.
It was bringing a steady paycheck. We were looking to buy, you know, purchase a new house at the time, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had to stick through it.
Yes.
And, but it really just kind of took us getting to a point in life where with you, you know, Kinsey and with our kids, we got to a point where we're like, okay, well, you actually can focus a lot more time on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I stay with my job probably a good year to year and a half.
Yeah.
And if I can, you know, ever get into any type of entrepreneur coaching or training or anything like that in the future, consulting wise or anything, you know, make sure that you really, really strongly consider that, because It's, you know, you could be the greatest salesman, but you can't necessarily be the greatest business owner.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of aspects to it. So if you can hang tight with that job and work your side hustle, you know, between the hours of, you know, 6 p.m. and midnight, then, you know, rock it. Go ahead and do your thing and stuff. And but keep that, you know, keep that daytime gig going until you're able to really know that you can look to either yourself or your significant other or your spouse or your family and go, you know what? I think we got some here. Let's give it a go.
Yeah. And you look at the woulda, shoulda, couldas, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes go, would her business have grown bigger, larger? Where would it be if we kind of went all in sooner?
And then,
but there's also the other side where you have your downsides of business and you're like, man, should I have maybe stayed another year and maybe built a little bit more of a nest egg or a little bit more of security, maybe health insurance, everything else.
Yeah.
And but, you know, ebbs and flows of business and, you know, those things come and go.
Yeah. So. And I think for us too, like you'd mentioned, our boys, they are nonstop. They're ages 10 and 6.
I was just about to ask you that. So, that's incredible. Yeah.
Colton and Kate, and they are like the epitome of non-stop boys from the minute they wake up until they go to bed, and they even like twist and turn around in beds, like they're constantly moving at all times. And so for us, having that, I wouldn't even call it security, it was more of just that not all your eggs in one basket, if you will, at that point in time, was just allowed us to be able to make sure we could spend time with them, be there and be a part of those important moments when we could be, and now we make sure that we try to do that as much as we can continuously.
Purely full-time job, full-time parenting.
Like
it's a double duty for sure.
And imagine the two of them don't make it very simple.
I'm
actually an older brother of two. Like I'm my younger brother and I are just like, we've grown up together. Just like my mom's makes this joke. She's like, there's not a thing that I've owned that you guys haven't either thrown or broken or something. like
so
everything
true.
That I love in life, you guys have either broken or like done something dramatic to it. And it relatively is just the fact that brothers for some reason are just knuckleheads with each other and just ends up affecting the whole house. So.
Oh, yeah.
Constantly. From the time they get up to the time they go to bed, they're either loving on each other or hitting on each other.
Exactly.
So, I mean, just, it is what it is. I've got one brother myself.
Okay.
And we were the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing.
We're awesome best friends now, but at the same time,
you
know, there was always periods of time where he wanted to knock me out and I wanted to knock him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've had those moments too. What about, I guess, the business of alcohol and like drinks and this kind of accumulation of these two realms? Did you guys find yourself being drawn into, like, was it an early on in your careers, like early on growing up or something like that, where it's like, was it your first job as a bartender? What were those things that kind of drew you in?
I think for me specifically, growing up, my parents were always entertainers.
Okay.
Always had people over or going to friends' houses. So always some sort of an event, party.
Something.
And if there wasn't something going on, they would make something up to have something going on.
Exactly.
Sort of thing. So for me, it was more of what I was used to and brought up with, and just having that. It's not so much necessarily about the alcohol, if you will. It's about that environment and that experience and having people have this camaraderie around you and kind of just that cheers. It doesn't matter what's in your glass, but you have just that kind of connection with one another, I feel. The sense of community. And so we just happened to build our business wrapped around that.
It's a social aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a social aspect. And, you know, spending time behind brick and mortars, I always enjoyed, you know, slinging drinks and always enjoyed, you know, putting on a little bit of a show and I always enjoyed
just
know,
tell me, does he do the cocktail tricks? Like,
no, I don't have my own poem or anything like that, you know, like Tom Cruise, but no, it's, you know, we really just enjoyed the social aspect. We were always kind of constantly doing things. And, you know, it was just, we felt like it was a good I guess, you know, ease of entry type of business that we were like, hey, we know this, this, and this. This would flow well with this business. Let's give it a go.
Yeah. You know, I like that. I like that, that sense of, like, you brought in the social aspect. I've always grown up with my parents having someone either at the house or, like, we're doing something at someone else's house. I believe that you guys have something very special between you two that really kind of makes that environment very friendly and open. And you guys, like, honestly, you guys remind me of people that I honestly have at the house, like at my parents' house. Like, we would hang out all the time, and you guys are fun. And I can't imagine you guys being at a party and it not being a good time.
Thank you. I mean, we try our damnedest to make sure of that and everything. Yeah. And, you know, just between
it's, but I think it's like, it's that authentic, that real, just that natural sense of wanting to bring like life and energy, right? Yeah, like absolutely. I kind of feel sometimes that's forgotten or just lost. Not that it's a lost art form, but just that ability to enjoy, let loose, have a good time.
Yeah. I feel like, too, it's like one part of the aspect of owning a home is relatively we want to share that with the people that you love. And I find myself like it's the hardest thing not to bring people over because we have a pool and things like that and we want to entertain. It's just like right now we're so focused on treating it, the getting it to a point, a certain point. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait for the first like pool party, something like where we can just really lay back and enjoy just having people at the house and, you know, creating an environment of fun.
Absolutely. It's right around the corner for you. It'll be here soon. Absolutely. I know.
And then it's fun because I mean, we're kind of that way every single weekend. We can go nonstop probably Monday through Saturday. And then finally we look at each other and go, whoa, we don't have any events or anything going on Sunday. Well, what should we do? And we're like, oh man, well, you know, you've got, you know, you just housework and the yard and laundry and everything else. So we look at each other and go, screw it. Let's throw a party. Have people over, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
All that can come on Monday. Yeah. It's not going anywhere. It's going to stay in the laundry room. Let's have people over.
Yeah,
let's,
absolutely.
You know, so.
We have the hardest time of just not doing anything.
Not doing
I feel
anything.
Like sometimes that is a hard part or a hard thing to learn as an entrepreneur, somebody who kind of has that growth mindset and that always wanting to improve upon where you are and where you want to go, and to just take a moment to sit back, breathe, and relax is so important, but it's super challenging to do. And I feel like we are constantly, even still to this day, have a challenge with that, because like Neil said, we don't have anything in summertime, right? Like right now is going into our slowest part of the season as far as event wise and I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? Like
I have a list.
Yeah.
there's always a list,
you know, but
tons of stuff. And we always have to come home from a vacation, and we need a vacation
from our vacation.
You know? So I mean, but it's a blast.
You guys brought up the concept of challenges, and that leads me into kind of where I'm going now is like, what part of your business and some of the challenges that come along with it that maybe people don't know or don't appreciate or understand that you guys do with your business?
Yeah.
You know, what comes to my mind really is just education behind the scenes type stuff.
Okay. Took it out of my mouth. I almost jumped in and said,
I've been
first.
Letting you talk. Now
I know.
So yeah, education behind the scenes. Nobody really truly understands, and this can go out to our company or I mean all the different companies in our industry and everything else like that.
Okay.
A lot of times it's very difficult where clients don't necessarily understand all the things that go into actually making their event a success.
Yes.
And the gratitude or the expectation on you know, cost and value and all this other stuff can be really, really difficult to portray or to really, you know, validate and everything else, because it's just kind of like, oh, what? You're not just going to, you know, show up at our house with a bunch of stuff and bartend for us? And it's like, no, it's, we're a professional company that's going to put a, you know, a professional bartender in front of you and make sure that everything with the beverage management portion of the bar and everything else is taken care of.
Awesome.
And there's a lot of different things that go into that, from you know, lighting to trash to where's the bar located to how's it going to be set up to who's working it, how many people, what's the timeline. Everything goes into it. And so for, you know, that's what kind of pops with me right away when you ask that question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to, you know, our internal team does a great job of educating when we, you know, get a new inquiry or a client and letting them know, like, I totally understand that, you know, this is what you're thinking. Like, or sometimes I think they're, I don't know if the word disillusioned, but here's this picture that I saw on Pinterest and Instagram.
Yeah.
And I want that, but I just want bartender only. Like, I just want you to provide the person.
I want you to provide Ruth Chris, you know, service for McDonald's prices.
And
I don't want to, I'm not necessarily saying that in a negative way.
Yeah.
It's just an education piece. Yeah, there's absolutely a value in everything that people do.
Yeah.
You know?
And too, it's like, you know, somebody shows up. Well, there's time that goes into setting up something properly and execution and making sure that the beer and the wine has plenty of time to chill. And like how we do things when we get on site is there's a formula to it so that our team is set up for success as well. And I feel like when we go through that process with a client, they have that aha moment, right? Like when we talk about kegs versus bottles and cans.
But that's a cool education piece that we love to do. I mean, some of the things that we really, really enjoy is a lot of people these days is trying to get away from the calls. You know, we heard this earlier today in the meeting that we had where it's like, hey, what can we do? How much information can we give the client? Mm-hmm. Everything else on our website, this, that.
Yeah.
So we don't have to field a call from them. Yeah. They can just go online and book it.
Yeah.
We take a little bit of a different philosophy where we actually want to talk to you. We want to get to know you, get to know your events. We want to understand exactly what your wants and needs and desires and mission, vision, everything is, so that we can then produce the best product possible. And if it just means that you need to have a professional bartender in the corner and you provide everything because you're on a budget, awesome.
Right.
Who cares? That's totally cool.
We'll bring one of our guys.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And then too, sometimes they don't know what they don't know, right?
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
They don't know all the things that we do offer.
All the details.
So, you know, they think they want this and they're like, well, you know what? You may not actually need to have all of that, you know, at your event. If you're only having 30 people, you don't need to have 2-3 kegs of beer. That's a waste.
That's a lot.
You do know, you know what I mean? Like that's going to be wasted. So we can minimize that, save you money, you know, on what you're going to be providing. And so I feel like that is something that
we pride ourselves on.
Yeah, and our clients enjoy, right?
Yeah,
they have that, they end up having the aha moment, which makes them value why they went with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, too, what's important is setting our team members up for success.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get all the details to them for the event, and we don't want there to be any hidden expectations.
Absolutely.
Which makes our team happy and our clients happy. So I think those are some of like the main
challenges, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
So
there are, I mean, like I said, this is why we kind of ask these sort of questions, because in particular too, as we've moved closer and closer to the wedding date, we've started to realize like, there's a lot of details that as two individuals that are so focused on, you know, other aspects of, you know, work and other things going on, the details sometimes get away from us. And then when our wedding planner is like, hey, you gotta do this by this date, we're like, oh yeah, there's more to it than just what we're putting in. Like there's more to everything that we do. Like you said, we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that little like saying, because I'm the type of person that the reason why I do this podcast is I have an affinity for the saying of every person that I meet knows something that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to do my damnedest to find out tidbits or pieces so that I can learn.
For sure.
And that's just the person that I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I do this. I love getting that aspect out, because if I don't learn at least one thing a day, I feel like I've just wasted a day. Like it is one of those things.
Well, we always say that too. I mean, the bar... It's funny because the bar always seems to take a little bit of a back seat, you know, and we understand that not everybody drinks. I mean, that's not a big deal at all.
Sure.
I mean, we can have a hell of a bar that's serving, you know, mocktails and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the fresh thing pina colada. Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing that everybody,
for sure.
The thing that we would love to make sure that everybody understands is that, you know, the bar itself and what kind of drives us to make sure that it's really just humming like nothing else is that you don't really see a whole lot of people walking around with a fork or a plate in their hand. Mm-hmm. You know, you typically, you see them walk around with a cocktail in their
cocktail
hand.
Cocktail in their hand.
So
exactly.
It's one of the most visited places in the entire event.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not make sure that that's on point?
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
So one of the other pieces that I've kind of seen from you guys is that you have a real close bond and relationship. You guys work well together. What have you guys done in your marriage and in your personal lives to help make working together a little bit easier?
Another great question. Communication. I mean, that you
sure.
you yeah. know.
That's, it sounds like you guys are really good at communicating.
Yeah,
with one another.
I don't shut up most of the time. I mean, in all honesty, and I know when something's off with her,
and I won't
let it lie.
He won't let it lie. That's the thing. Like he'll say, you know, I know, like. Are you doing okay? Are you feeling okay? Like, and what I appreciate about Neil is that it's not nitpicking or
It's more of like, I love you.
Yeah.
I know something's wrong, and I'm never gonna be able to fix it unless you tell me.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm gonna leave that in your court. And you let me know
when you're
ready.
And
you
when
know?
You say fix it, you mean it in the sense of, did you do something that bothered me or whatever
it
may be? And the honestly, sometimes more often than not, when he says like, "What you know, are you doing okay? Something bothering you?" I don't even realize it, how I've been acting or like, because all my mood sort of changes or because normally I'm constantly like energized, bubbly this. But if there's something or thought or something in the back of my head that I'm thinking of,
stressed out,
and I honestly sometimes don't even realize that I am until he brings it to the forefront, and then I kind of go, I'll ponder and I'll think about it, and then I'll have kind of like a, oh, you know what, maybe I get it now.
Yeah.
So sometimes I don't always know.
Yeah.
And then he brings it to my attention. I'm like, you know what, you're right. Or if I got too busy and I hadn't eaten or something, and I literally the hangry is there, and I don't even realize it. He'll cross from the office about, hey, did you eat anything yet today, or did you bring anything? Because I think it's about that time to have a snack or something. I'm like, yeah, you know what, you're about right.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, we all have our bad days and everything. So for me, if I'm in a bad mood or anything else, and I'll just kind of straight up tell her, be like, listen, I'm not in a mood to deal with that right now, and I'm not in the mood to kind of go over this and process this in my head right now.
Yeah.
It's not the space I'm in. So chill out and let me get back to you here in a little bit.
Give me five.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me sit and marinate on this for a little bit because I'm not there right now.
Okay.
But communication has really kind of been the biggest thing with us. I mean, I don't know if we're a really odd, you know, because we don't really know a ton of married couples that work together.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No,
we really don't.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're like an odd breed or anything, but I mean, for us, we're kind of like little two stupid peas in a pod.
It's
like,
true.
You know,
it's
you're
true.
Thinking what I'm thinking, I'm thinking what you're thinking all the time. And we can just kind of go flow through the day.
I like that.
And understand that we each have our own roles though, too. What she's good at in a lot of instances, I'm not, or either I just don't really want to
do it.
Really deal with it.
Yeah. Because it's not something that you're passionate about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she's either passionate about it or just much better
than
me.
Better at it,
And I'm like, you rock and roll with that. I'm going to go over here and do this.
We've
you know?
Slowly started to realize, well, we've noticed that, and it took us a while to kind of, you know, hone that together. And I think it just comes with time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you know, before, like when we were dating, we, you know, trying to figure things out, and you know, she wanted to jump on board to the podcast side, and I was just very like, I don't know. I mean, I've done this all by myself for a while. Like, it'd be cool to have someone to help me out just a little bit, you know, all the time. And so she came in, you know, wanted to do the photos only, and then she kind of like, you know, found aspects that she was really good at, and I just wasn't passionate about it, and I just said, you know what? Take it away.
That's awesome.
So, now we're like running, like running of the whole podcast involved. I have my pieces and she has her pieces.
Man, I think that's huge. And as long as you guys understand that, respect it, acknowledge of it, and then show gratitude for it, then rock and roll with that.
Awesome.
So, for sure.
I like that. So let's get into a little bit of the tap truck, because I want to know a little bit, because I know that's a little bit newer, and kind of let's get into it about how that came to be. First off, what year and model is that truck?
66.
Okay. What? Yeah. And what, you know, where did you find it, and how did it get to being from point A to point B?
Yeah. So it's a 1966 Chevy panel truck. It's got five beer taps equipped on the side. But It's five taps because we've ran a multitude of different beverages out of it, not just beer, but cold brew coffee, kombucha, iced tea, all kinds of stuff.
I love
kombucha. So, you know, the concept behind it was, and I'll expand on this, but the tap truck instead of the beer truck or the beer tap truck or something like that, because we wanted to make sure that we're doing a, you know, have an ability to do a multitude of events from a coffee breakfast all the way up to, you know, a big time festival or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to give a shout out to a company, Tap Truck USA, out of California. You know, Corbin and those guys are awesome. And Taylor and Josh and out there in San Luis Obispo and everything. They ended
up this one went to school.
Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Gorgeous. I mean, you know, such great, great people. And we
have yet to go, which is on our
I have yet to go, and she's like very excited to take me. I'm like, I want to go.
Yeah, for sure. It looks gorgeous and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, the beauty and the power of social media and stuff is that we, you know, we knew we wanted to move into more of a mobile type of vessel,
format,
you will, you know, a trailer or a truck or this or something, you know. And they happened to like something on you know, on the gram.
Yeah.
And then we looked them up, and I was like, it was right when we were really, really looking into all this.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, I love this.
Yeah,
this is fantastic.
Well, okay, so this is huge, because I had been looking for something, a way to expand our business besides our
bartending. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I love, and that don't ever want to change that, but something that can be new and innovative, and looking like
just,
you mentioned,
just another addition to the business,
And so I've been looking at trailers and Airstreams and all sorts of different things, and I would show them to Neil, and he'd be like, "Yeah, that's cool," there was never this.
I want something that was just different. Yeah. Yeah. Something so, that was different, but badass.
Yeah. And you know? So he saw it, and like, you just heard his reaction. He was like, "I love it." And then I was like, "We are not getting off this train.
We are rolling.
This thing is happening." Yeah. And so
the cool thing is, we just, you know, we reached out to him and said, you know, we were kind of straight up. We were, here's who we are. Here's what we do.
Yeah.
We have the, you know, we love to build this, and I mean, we have ultimately the resources to kind of somewhat build it ourselves, but you guys, we love your brand. We love everything about what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, would you guys be interested in building us a truck? And then that evolved into basically like, well, let's take over like Tap Truck AZ.
Nice.
And then, so expand out here. And then, so literally these guys, I mean, within 30 days of talking with them, they ended up, I think 30, 45, so, we ended up meeting in LA, meeting them face to face.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then the moment we met them face to face, we were like, oh, these
it
dudes
was family.
Are awesome.
It was family.
I mean,
good.
Absolutely fantastic.
It was so
I love
cool.
It. And,
and after we left, we were still kind of like, you know, knowing that this
I
is
was
something.
Like, hell no, we're getting
no,
this.
No, we knew we wanted to do it, but it was kind of like, okay, timing and this and that.
Yeah.
And then we discussed, so this is what I was saying, what we were looking for and what we were wanting. And so we reached out to the guys and we're like, you know, we're all in, super excited. You know, what are your thoughts of when we might be able to have a truck? Yeah. And they go,
well,
we started building it as soon as we stopped, you know, soon as you guys left type of thing. Because that connection was likewise, you know? And like the way they designed, like they knew the color, every step of the way.
It was almost 3 months in the, like within 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Crazy. Time goes by so fast.
Was the truck... was the truck an anticipated, the make of the truck already anticipated, or was that something that you guys chose after deciding?
No, I mean, I love cars and vehicles and everything else, but I've never necessarily been a huge like vintage classic car guy. Really, okay. Never have.
Yeah.
I just love new cool business concepts and stuff. So they actually presented this to us, said, you know, what about this? And we were like, hey man, that's fantastic.
Sweet.
And you know, here's how we want it. Here's, you know, the number of taps and the color scheme and all this other stuff. And they were like, we gotcha. And
they showed us like little like snippets of kind of the progression of her, right? Okay. From start to finish.
Like an Instagram story of them putting on the, you know, like the paint color. And we're like, but it's only like a half a foot by half a foot snippet. And we're like, I can't see the truck.
And we never saw it until they brought her to us. Like it was like a reveal when they, and it was like this, it was this cool, like we can never reenact that.
And they come out of San Diego. Corbin does, and this dude shows up, and he's straight Johnny Cash, black on black, black long sleeve, nice. Black pants, hat on, huge beard, and sweet. It is July.
Yeah. Damn. Poor
and
guy.
I'm like, dude.
Yeah. That is a man committed to the, the character.
He just, you know, they showed up, and him and Taylor and their like some of their film crew, and they left, and they left that morning. And we had a launch party that night.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh.
It was pulled it off the trailer, drove it to our office, loaded her up, took it to the party, had a kick-ass time, and then drove it home that night.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Amazing.
I bet that was a definite moment for you guys because that's, you know, cool. Just to have everything, not only just to get the truck, but to be able to easily transition from play mode to work mode, then back, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I mean, to touch on what you said earlier, just kind of surrounding yourself with people that, you know more than you or know different things than you or anything else like that.
Yeah.
We knew what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that we would have probably accomplished it and everything like that as well.
Yeah.
But these guys were so cool and they were so honed in on their craft and everything. And they just, you know, why not? Like, why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
When we can just partner with people like that,
polish it up and make it hard. Yeah.
You know, that makes it so much easier. But that also, I guess, you know, segues us into our little Finn as well.
Yeah,
you know?
We have a little Cushman tap cart. That
ooh,
yes.
So that's a 1962 Cushman three-wheeled cart.
You gotta show me some pictures.
Oh, absolutely, and it's got four taps down the side of it as well.
Oh, yes. Freaking beautiful! Yeah.
And give a shout out to Suzanne with Hudson Trailer Co. Yep. up in New York.
So what's the idea behind that?
So with the tap truck, which we absolutely love, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
But she's big.
Yeah.
So she couldn't necessarily go into a backyard soiree front of an office building that has double. So it was kind of like, okay, we want to continue.
Emulate this, but shrink it.
But smaller. And to, you know, and it's a different look and feel, right?
And so with
the Cushman, it literally can go into anywhere that has a double door office
building. To kind of paint you a picture, like you can cruise in and we can put, you know, Prosecco or anything on it, and you could do like a great little, you know, baby shower or Sunday brunch where you don't want, you know, if you've got 30 ladies dressed up as Sunday brunch, you're not really pulling the tap truck, you know, trying to squeeze it through the doors with a big 350 engine in it and everything. You know, you got the three wheel.
You threw that in there.
just
to show up.
And so, you know, it was something that we wanted to, again, just continue to evolve and develop new offerings and things of that sort.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is, like, you know, with the tap truck and with the Cushman, you know, other people can enjoy it. It doesn't just have to be with us. So, for example, the tap truck has been at the Phoenician.
Okay.
And so we pull it in, they rent the truck from us, and they're pouring their beer off of it for their event, right?
Nice.
It's been down in Tucson. So other people can still enjoy it, rent it from us, different catering companies, different, you know, venues and things like that. So it just allows us to expand our reach, if you will, beyond just bar service.
Yes.
So that's kind of like how our company has evolved for We're now kind of branding as Liquid Caterers. It's kind of our parent company, which encompasses a couple of bartenders, so our mobile beverage management and staffing team, if you will, the tap truck, and Cushman, so our tap vehicles and tap bar, and then we have other new like offerings of the just kind of unique experiences that we can offer. So whether it's with our team or that you're just offering.
Beautiful.
Bringing them to an event. So, yeah. A la carte. There you go.
Beautiful. No, the and you know what?
I spoke French, did you?
No.
your cart reminds me of there's a gentleman who has like a I don't even know. The guy that we saw
the coffee one?
Oh, yeah.
And the back of his little jalopy.
Yes.
Best Spot jalopy.
We met him at an event and such a great guy and everything.
Yes.
He's so cool. Nice. Yeah.
And I would love to give a shout out to him, but I can't remember his name.
I'm so sorry,
my man.
But he does park outside of our favorite indoor plant shop.
Oh, the beginning of the P. I know
the Pueblo.
Yes.
He parks outside there, I think, weekends. And if you are, get a chance, please go over there and check him out, guys, because he's very, very good coffee. I can say that for sure.
Very delicious coffee.
So we do have a section of our podcast that we call Britt's Big Question.
Uh-oh.
Britt gets one opportunity to ask a big question.
Just one.
So take it away, Brittany.
I want to chat a little bit about your kiddos and how you kind of bring them into the business. I know you guys are talking about how you had bartending backgrounds, but not business backgrounds, but you had entrepreneurs in your family or in your surroundings. Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of teach them, but not put it on them, give them opportunities, empower them?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to leave with this? It was so funny because we actually were leaving the office today. And on the way here, we were talking about this podcast, and we were kind of like, well, you know, I know it's kind of a raw and kind of a natural organic podcast and everything with where, you know, the questions that we ask. And we were like, you know what, we actually may see if we can squirrel in how we run the, you know, with the kids and everything too. Yeah. So very, very cool question.
There you go. That's what our corner is for.
Like it.
Absolutely.
Our oldest Colton, who's 10, he'll be 11 in September, he has this uncanny, just, like it's an innate being in him where he asks the most unique questions that relates to our business.
Yeah.
Things that kind of make you like ponder, go, I'll never forget, I was driving somewhere and what did he say? Oh, something about if we would ever change our name.
Uh-huh.
A couple of bartenders, remember?
Yeah.
And I was kind of, and I go, why, bud? He goes, well, like, what if you wanted to branch off and like, let's say when I take over and I want more than just Arizona to experience or have, you know, the business, expand the business, if you will. And, you know, this was, I think like a year and a half ago. So he's like eight at this time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, huh, bud? I'm like, that's a really great question. And I go, I honestly don't know, but I did say, but kind of like when you build a brand and I said, and you're, you know, people know you by your name, then you, if you change it, then you're kind of starting over. And then what did he say? He said something about something to the fact, I think that he would make it cooler or something, I think. And I was like, probably so, bud, probably so. But it was like just how he thought of that.
Yeah.
And then he's constantly making mocktails. So they're quite honestly like better than...
They're actually delicious. Yeah, he always walks in the kitchen at our parties and stuff and goes, hey, Mom and Dad, can I make a mocktail? And I'm like, well, yeah. Sure. Yes, you can. Sure. And he throws some of the most coolest concoctions.
Lemon juice.
I don't know. But whatever he makes. And also we turn around and be like, oh, you throw some rum in this. It'd be fantastic.
Totally. Can you make me one of those, bud?
Yeah, no, I mean, just having the kids, I mean, we, you know, we definitely bring them around the office, you know, as kind of often as we can. You know, they're messing around in the tap truck and climbing around that thing. And, you know, we just want to, they'll go weekends and stuff. And the very first question they get at like school Friday coming home and be like, hey, you know, what's the plan? You guys got events this weekend? So it's 1,000% of our lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, and, they understand that, you know, at certain times that mom and dad is working for certain reasons and everything else. But they also understand the fact that we work so hard to be able to have the flexibility that on a Tuesday, if we want to pull them out and go to the lake because we can, then that's what we really work hard for. Absolutely. You know?
Or if there's like a school, you know, event or thing that, you know, we get, we can try to, we go to type of a thing. Volunteer if we can, things like that. So it is that... kind of educating them because it's different, you know, when they go, well, mom and dad, you know, why are you working this or doing this? Or I'll have my computer up and I go, well, you know how some of your friends, they're in club until six at night or this or that. We pick you up at three, but it's, we have that extra time with you. So mommy has to do a little work at night or, you know, we try to have them see the other side of it. So they're we don't want them always thinking, well, mom and dad are always working.
Yeah.
Even though I sometimes feel like that's the case.
Well, we are always working. But it's our life. It's not a bad thing. That's just, you know, that's created
it. It helps them understand.
It's created what we are, what we have.
Yeah, what you have. It helps them. That's kind of how my dad put it always. She's like, I give you guys what you need. You earn what you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's always been something that has been instilled in us is that, you know, for him, you know, as we've grown up, you know, we were always just kind of like, okay, well, we want this, dad. And he was like, look, I work my butt off so that you guys can have the house, the food, the, you know, all of this stuff. But does it mean that you guys don't have the ability to go out there and do it yourselves or work hard or do, and I will support you no matter what. And that education early on to help me understand the way he works and the way he does things is for us. It's for the family. It's for, you know, our benefit. And so from that, it helped me like transition at growing up. You know, I'm the older brother. I'm going to go out and do certain things like get a job first and do those little things to help my younger brother and show him like we can do it. You know, I'm your older brother. You can go out and get your own job too. And, you know, I set a good example. I think that, in actuality, I learned all of that from my father, and I learned all of that understanding through the guidance and him being able to communicate with me. So I definitely understand where you guys are coming from, and I think that that's the best way to go about it.
One thing I did a couple months ago.
Trying our damnedest.
We're constantly learning, but Colt, it was a weekend, and we had quite a few events, and I think, I don't know what we were doing. Anyway, I said, Colton, come to the warehouse with me. It was a Sunday. And I said, I could use your help.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how about you work with mommy for a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for you to earn money. Because he loves that Fortnite. Drives me nuts. And he's wanting a skin or something.
Has dad played a little bit of Fortnite?
I have not, actually. Oh, yeah,
you gotta jump in there.
Okay,
buddy. I
never got into video games.
You want this. Great, fine. Yeah. I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me. It drives the living bananas out of me, quite honestly. But I said, come to the warehouse.
Is he a little violent? Like, does he get like the amp? Like, my little brother's beating me.
No, he's really good at the game.
See, that's what scares me because it's scary how easily that transitions to I'm gonna pay for a coach, I'm gonna pay for a new skin.
Oh my goodness. You know, he's really, I mean, it kind of not to segue too much off the question, but yes, he came to the warehouse, he wanted to work, he worked, and he earned money to buy the skin. Yeah. But I mean, he'll be like, Dad, can you come and just come downstairs and watch me? And I'm like, all right, cool, man. I'll sit down on the couch. Within, 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Yeah. I am exhausting my brain power to figure out what's going on. And he is all over the place. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm up, down, left, right, A, B.
Yes.
That's my background. You know? That's it. And there's
Dad had a Nintendo.
Know,
that's
about
it.
That's it. And I killed at Contra, by the way, though.
Oh, and, nice.
But it was just, he's so good at it. And the challenge, I think, for us as parents in today's day and environment is to really understand the fact that as much as I'm a Southern boy at heart. I come, you know, was born, you know, back South. So there's a little bit of old school in me everything. But understanding that these kids are going to be so much smarter and so much better than I ever was or ever am, just due to the fact that they're grasping technology that we never had the ability that we never had. Yeah. And they're grasping it so quick and so fast and that it's so easy to them and their brain is processing so fast that I have to learn or retrain myself to now accept it and say, how do we create opportunity out of this, you know, and then go from there because, you know, our kids are asking for their own YouTube channel when back in the day, I was just trying to figure out how to build a ramp out of some plywood, you know,
that is definitely me too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's really funny that you brought that up and the idea, I think the level of understanding of the children and like the younger mind and how they use technology does not, like you said, you're a Southern guy, you grew up different, you grew up a little old school, so did I. I don't think that that is necessarily a bad thing. Like you said, you learn to accept what your kids are doing, and I think that's the best thing is like you take a little bit of the old school, you mix in a little bit of the new school, and then
voila,
there you go.
Agreed. I think the biggest thing is just understanding that it's a different language that we're going to be speaking with our kids and they're going to be growing up with than we did. And it's not the discipline language or anything else like that. It's just purely it's a different language. They're exposed to other things that we never, ever were.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think I think as well as you guys communicate with one another, you guys will definitely be able to communicate with your children as well.
Yeah. I'm trying my damnedest on that. Usually the decibels can get up there with me, but
I definitely get it. Well, guys, literally we've blown right through this. It was very easy and easy going. At the end, I give it to you guys to let everyone know all the events and every plug that you want to do, social media and handles, anything. It's all up to you guys, so take it away.
Cool. Well, thanks, man. This has been an absolute blast. I'm going to hand it back over to my wife. Plug away. You know all the, you know everything that needs to be said.
Thank you. And this has been such a pleasure.
Thank you very much. So
it's the time has flown by, my goodness. but a couple of bartenders. We have Liquid Caterers website that's going to be launching July.
Very excited.
So you can find out everything at liquidcaterers.com. But our hashtags are a couple of bartenders, Liquid Caterers, and Tap Truck AZ. And same on Facebook. So yeah.
Guys, I'm very much excited for you guys and what you guys have accomplished so far and everything that's coming up because literally I am telling everyone this now. These guys are going to be a part of our wedding and we very much are excited for you guys to be involved in that.
We'd be honored.
Yeah, we would be.
And I'm saying it now just because I don't want anyone to kind of, whatever. But we saw you guys before doing this and we very much were like, okay, we want them on the podcast first because that to us, sharing your guys' story and sharing who you guys are is more important to us than anything else.
Thank you
for being on the podcast.
Been our pleasure.
Yeah.
And before we go, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch every episode of ours at findingarizonapodcast.com. It's available on all podcast platforms. So if you guys like and subscribe, it gives these two a chance to be at the top of the chart. So please do so. And on top of which, we do have a blog and a newsletter. I almost forgot the name of it. Brittany works very hard on those two, so go sign up for those. And last but not least, we do have a extra bonus content, which is only available at patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast, where we ask 50 questions of every guest. It's called Fine Examination, and these two will be a part of that as well. So with that, we say goodnight to all of you listening, and goodbye to a couple of bartenders.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you, guys.